All right, I'll let you guys in on a little secret. When you get into politics, there's like one rule that everybody tells you. They say you don't want to do too much with Alex Jones because he's a quote unquote conspiracy theorist. Everybody knows Alex Jones is a conspiracy theorist. The media, mainstream media, makes sure that the world does not listen to Alex Jones. But here's the thing. It's getting kind of weird because when you look back on the stuff that he said, Alex Jones has been right a lot of times. Take, for example, this clip of him dating all the way back to 2002.
Facts and common sense are in. Yes, there have been corrupt empires. Yes, they manipulate. Yes, there are secret societies. Yes, there have been oligarchies throughout history. And yes, today in 2002, there is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny, where human beings are absolutely worthless. There's 6.25+ billion of us, and the globalists have said it many times. There's too many of us. We're causing a problem. We need to be culled at the tune of 80%. It's amazing to talk about that, but it's the globalists, the UN, their own public statements, and they've convinced a lot of liberals and elitist conservatives and others that by going along with this, that we're intelligent members of society. It's the ultimate Malthus world view. It is this radical, virulent form of social Darwinism. It's the excuse of tyrants. And by creating open borders where there's no national sovereignty and only global bodies that control all the resources, by centralizing and socializing health care, the state becomes God, basically, when it comes to your health. And then by releasing diseases and viruses and plagues upon us, we then basically get shoved into their system.
That's Alex Jones 22 years ago, my friends. And it's going to get even more bizarre because here's what he had to say about vaccines way back in 2009. Take a listen.
There's an entire agenda afoot to force the population to undergo different type of medical treatments, namely vaccines. We're seeing a medical tyranny being set up, not just in the United States, but worldwide under the UN and the World Health Organization.
Who's behind all this?
The Bilderberg Group. They want a planetary dictatorship so they can carry out their forced depopulation agenda, and they want to do it through the medical system. And that's why vaccines are so important. We know that many of these vaccines turn out to have serious adverse reactions. That this is being done by design. They kill you slowly over time.
Well, saying that in 2009, he sounded like a crazy person. Fast forward to today, and everybody post-COVID is going, wait a minute, what's going on? I can tell you officially today, I do not vax any of my children. And also today, I'm going to break another rule by speaking to Alex Jones for a whole hour, you guys. This is not a conversation you are going to want to miss. Welcome to Candace. Jones, welcome to the show.
Candace, it's good to be here with you, but we are definitely living in the most dangerous times in American history.
We actually are living in the most dangerous times, and I'm so excited to have you because, you know, you're one of those voices. I read a comment, and it never left me. I thought it was hilarious. They said, you know, Alex Jones sounds like he's peddling conspiracy theories, but he's telling you the truth. And Rachel Maddow sounds like she's telling you the truth, and she's actually peddling conspiracy theories. Like, they're the same person reverse, and that never left me. And so I just showed my audience some clips of you and the things that you have predicted over the years that have actually been proven to be true, but at the time, they sounded crazy. And so now I wanted to bring you on the show because I want to know what your take is on the Trump assassination attempt, because no matter how crazy it sounds, I think you have been the person that has been accurately predicting that all of this was going to happen. So, Alex, first and foremost, where were you when Donald J. Trump was shot at and fortunately survived? And what is your take on that situation?
All right, folks, if you want to watch the entire interview, check that out on Candace's YouTube channel. And just because of what she mentioned about vaccines at the beginning, it might not be on YouTube very long. So I highly recommend that you follow her on X as well and follow all of the links that she has in her bio. Stay tuned because we have the great Kirk Elliott on the other side. I've been wanting to talk with Kurt for a long period of time, and finally I got my chance. So stay tuned. It's going to be great on the other side.
Hey, let me start by saying you do a great show.
Thank you.
Hey, let me point out that I took X2 iodine. I started taking that stuff. The best iodine I think I ever found is what you guys are selling.
When did you start taking
it? About 4 years ago, I had high blood pressure, and I was on blood pressure medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I started eating a little better, but my blood pressure stayed high. And when I took X2 iodine, after about 3 or 4 weeks, I think my body detoxified of a bunch of metals and stuff that my body was storing. And my blood pressure came down to the perfect level. And I tell people the only thing I did was X2 iodine. And even though I do think all your other products are good, I recommend to anybody that they start with X2 iodine because it detoxifies your body and kind of kicks your natural DNA into full force. So in my life, I found X2 iodine the best. I tried other iodines and they didn't have the same effect. But so X2 iodine, I really wanted to point that out.
Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, folks. I am Chase Geiser, your host for the next 54 minutes before the great Owen Schroyer hosts the War Room. He's been doing an outstanding job over the course of the last 30 days and especially covering this assassination. We've got the great Kirk Elliott in studio again, coming in, broadcasting from Houston, I believe, Kirk. Kirk, it's an honor and a pleasure to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's so good to be with you, too, and can't believe you've been waiting to talk to me for a long time. What kind words to say?
Absolutely. Well, obviously, I watch the Alex Jones Show every day because I work here, and we edit, and we work on it, and all of your insight is just groundbreaking, and your background is specifically interesting to me because with PhDs in theology as well as public policy with an emphasis on monetary economics, I mean, what a background. First of all, there's probably like, what, 24 people with the same background educationally in the whole world as you, and it applies perfectly because we're in the middle of an economic war, we're in the middle of a spiritual war at the same time. I mean, after seeing that assassination attempt on Saturday, I know the same thing happened in 63, only with more success from the opposition. But after seeing what happened on Saturday, it's really starting to feel like late-stage republic stuff is going on here, Kirk. What are your thoughts?
I agree. And, you know, this is where, you know, public policy and economics and theology actually mix, right? The puzzle pieces fit together. Because the way that I see it is everything that we're seeing politically, economically, socially, religiously, even with our health, right? They're all physical manifestations of a spiritual battle that's being waged. I mean, it just is. They blend together. And, you know, case in point, I wasn't at that rally, right? But you're watching it nonstop afterwards and rerun after rerun, watching it. And so interesting things that I noticed is when you look at, number one, a Trump rally versus a Democrat leftist Biden rally, whoever it is, right? Whether it's Gavin Newsom or whoever, it's people at Trump rallies are happy and they're smiling and they're cheering and they're full of hope. And everybody at the other leftist rallies are just grumpy and mad. And it's like, I don't want to be here, right? Kind of a feeling. So now play this into what happened the day that Trump was, you know, tried to be assassinated. As you were watching that, in any shooting where there's a mass group of people there, what happens, Chase? People spread. They head for the hills.
Yeah, they duck.
They get out of the way. They're screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't do that. And what did they do? They were more concerned about Trump. Is he okay? Is his family going to be okay? What comes next, right? Rather than being concerned about themselves, they were concerned about Trump. Here's where I think the spirit of the leader, right, permeates the audience in America, right? And Trump has always been more concerned about America than he has been about himself. And therefore, the people at this rally more concerned about him than they are about himself. That goes both ways, right? And so what comes next is, I think, an amazing renaissance for America. I'm not, you know, everyone's saying, oh, Trump is now for sure a shoe-in to be the president. That's not a shoe-in. It's never a shoe-in.
It's not over till the fat lady sings.
Exactly. But when I look at what happened after that economically, so what causes, for example, I'm going to use what, you know, talk about stock market and gold and silver markets, right? So when you have uncertainty, turbulence, turmoil, chaos, change, those kind of things cause gold and silver to go up, yes. Right? They act as a flight for safety because they're accountable. They're real, Chase. They're things, right? They're not just a piece of paper, a digital entry that can be manipulated real easily. It's a function of supply and demand. And when the foundations around us are crumbling, people oftentimes look towards gold and silver. They have since the beginning of time, which is why kings and kingdoms have always fought over this stuff, right? Yes. So, but when that happens, the dollar is in usually collapse mode, right? As the dollar comes down, gold and silver are going up. And when you have a declining dollar, it takes more of that junk currency to buy valuable goods and services, which is part of the reason why this is inflation, right? Inflation is not rising prices. Rising prices are a symptom of inflation. Inflation is really an increasing money supply. It takes more of that junk currency to buy gold and silver or bicycles or groceries or whatever, right? So the interesting thing that happened, though, after the assassination attempt is gold and silver were rising, obviously, because it's chaos, it's uncertainty. What's going to happen next? But the dollar went up, too. Mm-hmm. So why did the dollar go up? Is because people thought what I just said a few minutes ago, Trump is a shoo-in to be president. And yes. The world was now thinking, if Trump's president, the dollar is going to be strong, the economy is going to grow, right? So you've got these competing forces working with each other. And I can't remember a time when that's happened. I mean, it's maybe happened before where the dollar has gone up and so have gold and silver. But it's a very rare thing for that to happen. So then you have to start asking other questions like, I thought Biden was good for the economy. I thought Bidenomics were good. That's what you always hear when he's out there speaking. It's like, oh, no, we're winning this war on inflation. Oh, no, we've got this under control. We're going to keep pausing rates.
In fact, the market disagrees with that argument.
Yeah. I mean, but the rest of the world, if they see that Trump is, they think, perception is reality, right? If they think Trump is going to be the president and all of a sudden the dollar goes up, if Biden was so good for the economy, for the global economy, the dollar would be strong now. But it is not, right? It took that attempt on Trump's life for the world to say, he's evading everything. Look at these legal battles that he's going through. They're being dismissed because of unconstitutionality. Things are falling into place. Biden is sick. And is he actually going to be the nominee or not? Is it going to be somebody else that's going to come? And there's so much chaos, right? That people are thinking Trump is going to be the president. And therefore, the dollar is going up right now as these conversations are happening because they know under a Trump presidency, the economy does well. Well, if it were so good under the Biden presidency, well, then the dollar would be strong now. People would be having that same opinion. But they're not, Chase. Yes. They're not, because it is not good right now and people realize it.
Well, I think, and you know way more about this stuff than I do, but I'm somebody who studies economics as a layman. I read Wealth of Nations. I've read Milton Friedman's books. I've read Ayn Rand. I understand a little bit about supply and demand just growing up in a house of small business owners and people that, you know, have read The Intelligent Investor or The Richest Man in Babylon. I mean, my family was conscientious about this stuff from a middle class, upper middle class perspective. And so I've got a little bit more knowledge than maybe the average person, but a far inferior knowledge to you about this. But when I'm looking at this economic dynamic, it seems to me, regardless of whether Joe Biden or some other Democrat is the president of the United States over the course of the next 4 years, or whether it's Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump's economic policy is far superior, it seems that our system is so inherently flawed that an economic collapse or severe correction in the least is inevitable. And even Donald Trump himself has come out and said, I hope it happens before I'm elected so it doesn't get pinned on me. When you print 40% of all dollars that have ever been printed in the last 4 years, you're going to have problems. And we know there's an inherent conflict of interest in the way that inflation is calculated, because the government understands that if inflation is officially reported to be higher, that changes the way that they pay out for Social Security and other things like that. So they have incentive to lie about it and minimize what the real inflation numbers are. And so it seems to me that when there's a collapse or an epic economic correction, regardless of who the president is, it's going to be revealed how much lying there has been about what the real inflation rates have been. And I think you're going to see gold explode no matter who the president is. Am I right?
Well, you're right. And you know, there's a Zero Hedge article that was talking about that, right? Because it doesn't matter, even, okay, as much as I love Trump, and if he were to become, if he were to walk into the White House tomorrow and be president, look, it's not going to change things overnight.
Yeah.
As amazing as he is, best economic president who's ever lived, in my opinion, there's so much damage that needs to be unwound. Like, it'd probably take a year or two for just to get back to zero. We are so far underwater. Biden has done so much bad for this economy. I mean, so it's a good point. I mean, so let's compare Trumponomics with Bidenomics, right? Because that what Trump wants to bring to the table is something that's diametrically opposed to what we have right now. So what does, in a nutshell, what does Bidenomics mean? It's raising taxes to increase government revenue, rising interest rates to slow down inflation that they're creating by printing money out of thin air, right? And you've got all these entitlements. You're basically paying people to stay home to get votes. That's why they're doing that. I mean, and I'm not saying that taking care of people in need is a bad thing to do. Obviously, I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to help people.
Right,
I want
to
help
people. Stealing from one man to give to another is not the same thing as charity.
Well, and charity means you help somebody in a time of need rather than helping them for their entire lifetime, right? It's like the difference between teaching somebody how to fish and then just giving them fish, right?
Exactly.
I mean, so when it creates a lifestyle that increases the burden on the government, and this is the fallacy of all of this giving by the government, right? Giving is a wonderful thing, and being benevolent is a wonderful thing, and God blesses that. In fact, he says, you know what? You give with a grateful heart, and just watch out, because I'll open up the floodgates of heaven so much you won't have room enough to contain it all, right? There is a blessing from giving. But giving out of the government, which is other people's money, isn't really giving at all. It's just like this redistribution, right? It's so you miss that blessing. But what it does is when you continually give people entitlements, What does that mean? They're not working. They're not making money, income tax revenue, property tax revenue, sales tax revenue. All it is a drain on society, and that's okay for a short period of time. If somebody needs help, you help them. But don't enable them for an entire lifetime where you said, if you even go try to find a job, your welfare payments are going to go away.
During the pandemic, I tried to hire several people because I was a small business owner at the time, and they said, I'm sorry, but unless you can pay me at least $25 an hour, it doesn't make sense for me right now because of all the aid.
Well, right, and there's over 28 states where you can make more on welfare than you can with a minimum wage job.
Yes.
Right, and so people will say, well, Kirk, then they just need to raise the minimum wage. It's like, no, they have to reduce welfare. Stop looking at the wrong side of the transaction, right? So that's one thing that's the difference between Trumponomics and Bidenomics. Trumponomics encourages people to be prosperous and to work hard and to thrive, where Bidenomics encourages people to actually not work by their own Democratic platform, right? So secondly, Trump said a few weeks ago he wants to eliminate personal income taxes and do what? It's like, well, how, if you eliminate personal income taxes, the government has no money. No, he wants to do what the founding fathers did, which was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, people don't realize we didn't have an income tax until like 1913, right?
Yeah, it was like 100+ years before we actually had an income tax, right? From the time America was born. So how did they make their money? Tariffs on imports. And so the naysayers will say, Kirk, that's a bad idea because 70% of everything we consume is an import, and you put tariffs on it, it's going to increase inflation. It's like, short term. But what are people going to do? People are
going to
say, I'm going to stop buying those imports and buy American, right? So when you do that, remember, economics 101 stuff, jobs always follow manufacturing. So this is a part of making America great again. And this is how the founding fathers envisioned our country to be, is you tax foreign goods, make them expensive so people don't want them, produce domestically, and then when you produce domestically, you're creating jobs, and you're creating jobs, people are spending more money, and then you have more tax revenue with the property tax, sales tax, income tax. There's more people working, so the housing market explodes. More people can invest, right? This is a brilliant plan, right? Because progressive income taxes are one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. You know, it's not like this magic thing that people just do to make money for a government. No, it's a communist idea where the founding fathers just wanted to put tariffs on imported goods.
Right. Well, so, before the Constitution was amended, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that an income tax was unconstitutional. That's why they had to amend the Constitution in order to legalize it after the Federal Reserve was established.
So many problems when you look throughout history. Yeah. It's like if they would have only done something differently, right? But they didn't. So now we have to deal with the hand that's dealt us, right? And so, but there's ways to fix it, right? And that's what Trump wants to do. He also wants to lower corporate tax rates to as low as 15%, right? Which is a huge, massive reduction of where we are right now. It's like, boy, Kirk, this is only going to impact the wealthy, right? And it's going to make them even wealthier. No, this is where people, where Reagan got a really bad rap, you know, trickle-down economics.
Yeah.
You actually create more profitability for companies because they're profitable. They're going to hire more people and everybody's working, right? And now that helps everybody, right?
So, well, even when Trump lowered the taxes, the actual revenue went up in tax revenue. Because people were making more money, so even though they were paying a lower proportion of the money they were making so much more that it made more money. So this idea of increasing taxes to increase revenue is very short-sighted.
Well, it is. And so, Chase, that works for a time when your disposable and discretionary income is a lot, right? Because if you're spending a bunch and at the end of the month you still have a bunch of money in your wallet – and taxes go up and you still have money in your wallet, it's like, okay, I've got extra. I'm still going to spend. Yes, I don't care what the taxes are. I don't like it, but I'm still going to spend. But you get to a point, and this is the Laffer curve. It's an economic graph. And so when you have disposable discretionary income and you raise taxes, you actually increase government revenue. When you hit a point of critical mass where at the margin, everything, people can't afford it anymore. Right. And you raise taxes. What are people going to do? They're going to pull back on their spending. And when you pull back on your spending, the government actually makes less, even though they raise the tax rate. This is where we are in America. We're living at the margin. Most of America is living hand to mouth. They have to make these awful choices. Like, should I pay my rent or my utilities or pay my mortgage or should I feed my family? Right. Or, guess we can't go on a vacation this year. We're just going to have a staycation and stay home and binge watch Netflix, right? I mean, so this is where America sadly is right now. And this is where the left wants America, because when people are hurting and people see no hope, and this is why they're so against Trump, because Trump does bring hope, and he brings the hope that we're going to get out of this mess. We're going to have economic freedom, personal freedom, religious freedom, health freedom, all of that. But the left wants us to be in pain. Mm-hmm. They do. I don't care if they think they're the
party for
the people.
Because the pain is the platform.
The pain is the platform. And if banks are undercapitalized and you can't get loans anymore – when people need them, they can't qualify for housing anymore because interest rates are too high and banks don't lend out money. I was just talking to a commercial real estate guy in Denver like 3 days ago, and commercial real estate in downtown Denver is down like 40%. And part of the reason is banks are no longer giving loans for commercial real estate. You have to come in with private capital or pay cash for an office building.
Well,
that really reduces
the market of people who can buy commercial real estate, right? So that means the Vanguards and the BlackRocks just come in and buy everything up?
Yeah, so much. So if you can't get a loan, if you can't afford things, what are you going to do? It's human nature, Chase. You're going to do an end run around banks and go directly to the government for your, you know, provision. Well, boy, what did they just do? When you go to the government for your safety and for your protection, for your provision, well, God is our provider. God is our protection, right? They're trying to take the place of God in people's lives, and you're never going to have a good outcome there because they don't want
you God.
Free. It is. They don't want you free. They want you enslaved because there's power in that. And that's what we're seeing right now. And so we're seeing this move and this change into a completely different paradigm shift globally. And really, we're the BRICS nations, for example, have been around for a while. You know, you've been watching the show, Alex, and I talk about this all the time.
Been expanding rapidly over the last 3 years.
Oh, my word. So rapidly and really rapidly after the Russia-Ukraine conflict started, because that's when Biden put the economic sanctions on Russia, said, you can't invade our friends, Ukraine. So we're going to slap the mother of all sanctions on you and no more bank wires coming into your country. It's like Biden wanted to starve him out. So this is where Putin went to China and they got married, basically, just like connected at the hip, politically, economically. And so Putin went around it. Now, a few weeks ago, 300 more economic sanctions thrown on Russia by the U.S. Treasury Department.
It didn't work the first time, so let's try it again.
Yeah. And so then that didn't really work either. So then we put another sanction on them last week, the beginning of last week, that said, we're going to sanction financial institutions or countries or companies that do business with Russia. So it's not that you just keep putting sanctions on Russia. You're now putting sanctions on companies that do business with Russia, right? So all these sanctions go to accelerate the de-dollarization of the world. And here's the thing. I'm not even saying sanctions are a bad thing. If you're at war with another country, you're either going to militarily attack them or you can attack them economically. That's what a sanction is for. But here's where Biden is so clueless in this. It's like, know your audience. Seriously, read the room. You're dealing with Putin here. You're not dealing with the Dominican Republic who exports pineapples. You're dealing with somebody who has raw materials and oil and gas and
giant
and everything.
Mass.
So they want to de-dollarize the world in a big way. Well, what happened at the end of last week, Putin and the president of India, Modi, got together. Modi's never been to meet with Putin in Russia before, right? So it's like, what are they doing? I mean, they're both BRICS nations, sure. But they had 15 talking points. And the photo ops that came after that are, these guys are best buddies. They're like pals. Look at their... whatever they did, they're smiling, they're happy. Well, what are they doing? Putin is actually taking control of the BRICS nations and being not just their spokesperson, but he is actually creating alliances that will help Russia in a big, massive way. They've already got a political economic alliance with China, right? And now in his quest to de-dollarize the world, he's got this economic alliance now with India and a military alliance with North Korea.
And people don't realize this. The IMEC corridor that was announced by Netanyahu just a month before Israel was attacked was supposed to create an economic alliance with India that went through Saudi Arabia and all the way through Israel. Kirk, we're coming up on a break here in 15 seconds. Please stay with us because your analysis is just absolutely fascinating to me. And there's so much more to unpack on the other side. Make sure that y'all visit kepm.com/gold or call 720-605-3900 and stay with us for more from Kirk on the other side.
This is a make it or break it moment, so I need people to connect those synapses in their brain for you to make a decision. If you don't support InfoWars, we will be shut down. And people say, well, they're constantly trying to shut you down. How are you still in the air? God. But God works through people. So we're in a paradox here where the judge says we're open for 3 more months. If we're able to get a buyer under the law, they won't be able to shut us down. I'll just work for somebody else. And that's coming. That's got to be set up. But in the meantime, if people believe the news that we're being shut down everywhere, which they tried to do and failed, by that foregone conclusion, we're shut down. And under
the last federal bankruptcy manager who would not reorder product and killed all our advertising, who was positioning us to be shut down and tried to shut us down. We caught him. The judge caught him and fired him. We're almost sold out of all the products. All right? But we have a lot of great products that are still in stock, limited supplies. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And we just had a donation button. Maybe we should just do that. You're fighting for freedom in a key election, battling the globalists. We need support. But we want a long-term relationship with you. We want to be symbiotic. We want you to get great products you like, get them delivered to you quickly, and enjoy them and have them empower you and make your life better so you love them and you keep getting them. We want a relationship. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto, whether they're compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breasts. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD. We've got ashwagandha gummy. Relaxes you, makes you feel really relaxed with no downer feeling. Amazing. An incredible product. Good night sleep. We have a lot of great sleep aids. This one's excellent. They're all different formulas. People love it. Good night sleep. InfoWars MD. Ashwagandha with black pepper, which relaxes you and makes you lose weight. These are all concentrates. Joint Relief Max works really well. Great pain relief. Huge bottle of it. You know, jam-packed. It's there. Joint Relief Max. InfoWars MD. Prostate support. Already mentioned that. This is just a top formula. Super high quality. Organic. Nerve Renew. Amazing. To get your nerves, not to kill pain, but to get your nerves healthy. Nitric Boost. Vitamin Refusion about to sell out. About to sell out. Real Red Pill Plus. And something I never talk about and should talk about more, Probiotic Fiber. A super high-end product at a low price at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all for your support.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geiser with the great Dr. Kirk Elliott on the air with us. Dr. Elliott, we were just talking about BRICS and their expansion and these sanctions. And let me just try to summarize my understanding. You can tell me where I'm wrong or where I'm right, because you're by far and away the expert on this matter compared to me. But basically, we went off the gold standard in the 70s. Some people argue we went off in the 30s under FDR when the federal government exhibited its power to just seize all personal gold on demand. Some people even say it goes all the way back to the Federal Reserve. But we're a fractional reserve banking system. Our fiat currency is backed by nothing. It's literally fake currency. Our money is a lie. And this OPEC deal was reached to basically ensure that oil abroad would be traded using U.S. dollars, which created an artificial demand for our currency internationally, which has propped up until this point the dollar. Now, because we're the global reserve currency and all the economies of the world in one way or another are dependent on our currency, they have to convert to dollars at some point in time if they trade in oil internationally. This has given us the ability as an economic superpower to impose sanctions on countries like Iran and Russia and China and others. which has over decade after decade embittered them toward us, right? So Iran hates us, Russia hates us, China hates us. We throw sanctions on them, they hate us even more. And out of that, it has created an incentive that has catalyzed these major nations to conspire to subvert the dollar as the global reserve currency any way that they can so that they can liberate themselves from our economic dominance and this basically global tyranny that we've imposed economically on the world if people don't play ball with our national security or international security or foreign policy incentives or agendas, right? So we've got the situation where Russia and China and Iran really hate that the dollar is the global reserve currency. We know that Iran backs organizations like Hamas and other terrorist organizations. They target countries like Israel. We tried to establish this IMEC corridor to compete with China's Belt and Road Initiative so that they couldn't use trade monopolies as a way to subvert the dollar. We tried to set up a competing route from India through Saudi Arabia to the port of Haifa in Israel. And then all of a sudden, Israel gets attacked, and we see this massive, just terrible conflict, you know, on both sides, just terrible happening. It seems like every war that we've been in since 1913 has in some way, shape, or form been an effort of our national security apparatus to protect the dollar as the global reserve currency, to artificially bolster the dollar. And as long as our money remains a lie, war remains inevitable. And if war remains inevitable, then escalation is inevitable, which means that we're going to see some major shifts in power dynamics militarily and economically over the course of the next 80 years, I think, before the end of this century. And gold is basically the only sure bet. Am I right? Am I just, you know, 30,000 foot layman analysis there?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Chase. And so, but I don't think the thing where I would disagree slightly is,
yes,
I don't think it's going to take 80 years.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll probably see this tectonic shift within probably the next 3 to 5. I mean, I really think so. When you, it's because the BRICS nations are so big, right? Even now, as we speak, you know, it's grown from Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa.
Yes.
As the original BRICS to BRICS plus, plus, plus. And now it's basically BRICS plus, plus, plus OPEC nations.
Yeah. LGBTQI right? Plus BRICS plus, plus, plus.
I mean, all of
BRICS.
It.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. You just add more letters if you want more of something, right? So what they've added was the manufacturing might of China, and now you've got the massive technology center in India and the military and the natural resources coming from Russia. Now you have oil from the OPEC nations. I mean, this is a big, mighty trade bloc, right?
Yes.
That's 50% of the world's population right now. But there's over 20 or 30 countries, according to the World Economic Forum, that are waiting to get into the BRICS nations. Like, they've applied, they want to be members because they want to be members of a winning team, right? That's how they view it.
Yes.
And sure, China has over 30,000 tons of gold, you know, to back their currency, so to speak, because, and
at least
Russia
they, and I
has
think they lie about
tons.
Their numbers. I think they have more than they say.
Yeah, they always lie about their numbers. It's like, who even knows, right? But the estimates, when you look at how much China is the largest producer of gold on the planet, mining wise. They're the largest purchaser of gold on the planet, and they don't sell anything that they produce. Right? So it's like, okay, they're the largest miner, and they're not selling of it. They're keeping it
right
for themselves.
And we can track how much they import, but we can't track externally how much that they actually mine, because they could lie about those numbers. So they are setting themselves up to establish another global reserve currency.
Exactly. They want what America had. Right. This is why Putin wants to de-dollarize the world, because they're part of BRICS too.
Yep.
And Putin's like the spokesperson for the BRICS nations, right? He wants to control the show. So here's where this is a big deal. If these were small countries and small potatoes and just little bilateral trade agreements, who cares? But it's not. It's over 50% of the world's population. So here's my prediction. I'm not much into making them. I don't like to, because either you're going to be right or you're wrong. But I think I'm right on this one, is they are all getting so big that they're ultimately going to put economic sanctions on America, right? And so they're going to fight back the way that we fought with them, because now they have a huge power block where they actually can, right? So here's where the death of the dollar.
You can't fire me, I quit. Like, that's kind of the idea, yeah, right? So, you want to sanction me? I sanction you.
Yeah. So the death of the dollar is actually coming, and I don't think there's an awful lot we can do about it, because even if Trump were to come back tomorrow in office, you know, what's he going to do? Go to China and say, hey, remember, you know, that reserve currency that we used to have, and under the Biden administration, you guys all took it. Well, we're taking it back. And because they're over half of the world's population, they're going to say, no, you're not. We're keeping it now. And so there is just going to be this shift. Where, what does that mean? It means we're going to need a president like Trump that will have discretion in his spending, that will grow the economy, because we can't just print willy-nilly anymore like they have in the past.
Whenever Congress would meet. You can't do that unless you're the global reserve currency, so we have to be economically independent.
When Congress would meet every single year and it's like, okay, we got to raise the debt ceiling because we spent too much again. You know, they always pretended like, this is such a big deal. We might have to shut down the government. No, they're never going to do that. They're just going to print more money, which is what they've always done.
Yep.
And they didn't really care because they knew they had built-in demand for the currency because we were the petrodollar. Well, now that we don't have that anymore, you have to have discretion in spending. This is what Trump's going to bring to the table. You can be a prosperous nation without being the world's reserve currency, because I don't think we're getting that back. But you have to have discretion in your spending. You have to cut costs. You have to cut taxes. You have to lower the inflation rate because of printing money, and have inflation come because of a healthy reason. Not all inflation is unhealthy, Chase. The prices will go up as the economy grows, because it can sustain higher prices because wages are going up. That's actually okay inflation. That means the economy is growing. But when your economy is shrinking, you've got wage reduction and you've got increasing taxes, and the only reason there's inflation is because you're printing a ton of money to fund everything. Well, that's bad inflation, right? So here's, though, I read this book, and have you ever read The Fourth Turning?
Oh, yeah. We're in The Fourth Turning.
I mean, I love that book.
Steve Bannon's a major advocate of that book. It's so, I mean, they predicted some things with astounding levels of accuracy, including, I believe, the 9/11 attacks.
Astounding. I mean... So
basically, the premise of the book is that history is not linear, it's cyclical. And so there are cycles that civilization go through every 20 to 80 years. And there's a first turning, second turning, third turning, fourth turning. And you can predict with astounding accuracy the nature of what different generations will be like and accomplish based on the cyclical perspective of history rather than a linear perspective. So right now we're in what's called a fourth turning, which is an incredibly tumultuous, difficult, challenging time. Go ahead. It is.
And so 500 years of history. And this book was written in 2009. Remember that, everybody listening to this, because it was prophetic in nature. And the guy was just a sociologist, right? So first turning after World War II, you know, we came back, the troops came back, and they were happy and excited. America was a big kid on the block, and it was a post-crisis, right? So the first turning is always after a crisis.
Yes.
It's an upbeat era where institutions and communities strengthen and individualization or individualism, I should say, weakens. So this is post-World War II. Then those parents have kids, right? So the kids in the second turning, this is an awakening. This would be like the 60s, you know, free love and free drugs and sex, drugs and rock and roll. And, you know, the 60s, right? So that's a period of spiritual upheaval where the current value system goes under attack, right? So then those kids have kids in the third turning, which is an unraveling, right? Imagine having your parents be somebody who was sex, drugs, rock and roll, drugs all the time, and that generation, and they're teaching their kids. So it's a less upbeat era of strengthening individual and weakening institution, but a new value system starts to emerge as those kids begin to realize, ooh, what my parents did probably wasn't good.
Right. So I really wish they wouldn't have cut off my balls when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, exactly. but here's the thing. Those people who were alive in the 60s are now the political leaders during the time of the fourth turning.
Yes.
So this is weird how this is all kind of alternating like generations, right? So the fourth turning, which we're in right now, is a decisive area of crisis, climax, values and regimes result in the replacement of the old civic order with a new one, right? So the last one that we had was in 1929, the World War II, and perhaps during 9/11, there was another fraction of one. But here's where in 2009, these two authors, and I'm not saying this is the Bible, right? But this is an amazingly accurate book, right? Listen to this quote. Sometime before the year 2025, America will pass through a great gate in history commensurate with the American Revolution, Civil War, and twin emergencies of the Great Depression and World War II. Every fourth turning has registered an upward ratchet in the technology of destruction and in mankind's willingness to use it. This time, America will enter a fourth turning with the means to inflict unimaginable horrors and perhaps will confront adversaries who possess the same.
Artificial intelligence.
By the year 2025, we've got wars, we've got rumors of wars, we've got this reserve currency status leaving, banks failing, you had a pandemic, and you had the former head of the CDC, which 2 weeks ago said, dude, COVID, that was nothing. That had a 0.6% mortality rate. What's coming next with this avian flu, which is the next pandemic, he said it's a matter of when, not a matter of if, it is the next pandemic, has a mortality rate of up to 20%, striking fear into people, right? So they can put masks on them again, so they can force vaccinations, so they can do all this nonsense, they can shut down the economy, right? It's like, okay, you've got this great crisis, but at the same time, you've got Trump, who lived through an assassination attempt, who's now wants freedom, political freedom, economic freedom, religious freedom. And America is starting to wake up, and Trump's, you know, like we talked about, his legal battles, a lot of those battles are going away, being found unconstitutional. There's this awakening that's happening, right? As people are seeing the lies, and their wallets will tell them inflation's not what it is. It's way higher than that. So then we go to the first turning again, which is a prophetic generation. It's a artistic generation. It's the period, again, like after World War II, post-crisis, upbeat era, where institutions and communities strengthen while individualization weakens, right? So we've got this turning going on, and who's going to be president probably during that turning? President Trump. Right. To bring us into a new era of American prosperity, and where what the enemy tried to steal from us and take away with all of these restrictions and things economically that we've talked about on this show numerous times, unified ledgers, programmable money, digital social profile, social credit score, having the ability to cut you off from using your money, which is why we talk about things like gold and silver as a mechanism to avoid the onslaught of what's coming of digital money and programmable money and Big Brother. It's like, man, I don't even think George Orwell could actually imagine how bad it was going to be, right? It's like, but so we're moving into this next pendulum shifting moment in history where I'm excited because of the leaders that are being put in place. America is waking up, but that always happens during a fourth turning, during time of great crisis. And people realize, how did we get here? Let's not repeat the mistakes of the past. And this is a very exciting message, even though it's very dark, because what's coming is going to be great. But before we get to that point, it's going to get worse than it already is.
So what does worse look like, Kirk? What do you think that we're going to see over the course of the next 4 or 8 years?
Well, I think we're going to have another run of bank failures, like pretty soon.
And right? not just small, kind of obscure banks, but do you think it's going to start being the big boys?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, well, just 3 weeks ago, the FDIC and the Fed gave JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, and Bank of America this nasty gram that said, hey, you know, your orderly resolution plan that you put together, if there's an economic failure, how are you going to pay off your depositors? How are you going to have an orderly resolution plan out of the mess? They said that doesn't cut it, right? But when you read the memorandum, it's not about their commercial real estate losses or their unrealized losses. It's not about their residential real estate or their credit card debt or the student loans that Biden's actually paying up. It's not about any of that. It's about their derivatives debt. Mm. See, this derivatives debt nightmare is going to take down the big boys. Small banks don't have global derivatives. The big ones do, which is just highly leveraged debt. Now, Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase both have $55 trillion of derivatives each. America has $39 trillion worth of debt since 1776 as the most prosperous country on the planet. We've got that much debt. These two institutions have more than the national debt per bank. And the other two, wow, Bank of America and Citi, both have $20 to $30 trillion each. I mean, these aren't small potatoes. Yeah, so you get one of those shoes to drop, the dominoes are going to start falling. Everyone's going to say, what? If Chase went down, what about my bank? And it's going to be a run on the banks everywhere. So I think that that happens, and I think that that's a fait accompli. I think that happens because FDIC only has 1.17% of all deposits covered now. 1.17.
Let me ask you this then, in light of that, what would happen just hypothetically in America if, let's just say, 50% of the population decided on the same day, let's just say December 7th, right, date which would limit infamy, decided to go to the bank and ask for $100 withdrawn from their accounts? Would it even be there? If you know, 150 million people went to the bank and asked for $100, would the banks even be able to do it?
No, I don't think that they would. We'd have to do the math.
Yeah.
Right? But you look at the total number of deposits in America, and FDIC only has 1.17%. Banks are starved for capital. So we could do the math on that. I just don't have
calculator. Sure. I didn't mean to throw you a curveball.
But the point is, when we used to have about 2.7% of FDIC funds, you know, to cover all deposits. But then you had Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, Silvergate Bank, Credit Suisse, and First Republic, five regional banks. None of these are massive banks. They're regional banks. That took away half of FDIC's reserves. So now we're at 1.17%, right? So what that tells me is we have another five or six regional banks and you take care of the rest. There's nothing left at FDIC. And now they stopped the emergency funding program that came after Silicon. That expired, it sunset in March. So there's no more emergency funding for banks, but now they don't want these banks to go into default and go to FDIC because they don't have enough money.
Right.
So then they've like, oh, how convenient. They've got bail-in legislation through the Dodd-Frank bill in 2009. This is why Janet Yellen said it's not going to be up to the government. Too big to fail. That's nonsense. We're going to make the depositors bail out their own institutions. So point to, you know, note to self, you better make sure that you know that your bank that you have is financially secure because you're going to be the one bailing them out in a bail-in.
Wow.
Right? So this is where it gets ugly. It doesn't take much, Chase, to actually create havoc and have the scene, and it's a wonderful life where everyone went into the bank, right, in that old black and
Isn't
white movie.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Not though.
We've got about 30 seconds left together or so. Can you please tell people where to find you, where to work with you, and just kind of do the final elevator pitch on why it's so important to call you as soon as possible?
Well, everything that we talked about is the why, right? It's like, okay, so are you concerned about your bank? Are you concerned about the inflationary pressures, these wars and rumors of wars? This is not trying to create fear. We don't have to sensationalize the world that we're living in. It's bad. But we have to actually explain where we are to understand how important the solution is, right? So to me, the solution right now is tangible assets, gold and silver.
Yep.
Hasn't always been. You know, during the Trump years, during the Reagan years, other normal traditional assets did amazingly well. But we're at a point now where we have to pay the piper. So gold and silver, tangible, physical gold and silver is the best way to do it. I'm not talking about paper, not ETFs, not mining shares. Right. They're all just paper proxies. Physical that somebody has to take delivery of either in your IRA or at your home or a personal depository account. Somebody has to take delivery of it because it's a thing. right? Yeah. And so that's
Carp,
where the
thank
safety
you so much for coming on. I'm sorry to cut you off short, but we only have about 8 seconds left before I have to run this report from Alex Jones. Please, everyone, visit kepm.com/gold or call 720-605-3900.
Since Saturday, Candace Owens, you name it, have asked me hundreds of times, different people have, what would have happened if Trump was killed on Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania? There are so many horrible scenarios that come out of that. It makes my head hurt. But I guarantee you this, and I predicted it before it happened, when I predicted the attempted assassination, that the globalists would then stage false flags and blame it on Trump supporters as a response back, probably killing Biden. But we're talking about truck bombs, terror attacks on black colleges, you name it, because the globalists are an outside powerful BlackRock banking force. They need to have Americans fight with each other, so they would create divide and conquer. The sky's the limit. I mean, I single out black churches, black colleges, because the globalists have targeted those before. It could be anything. They could blow the White House up and say Trump did it and get rid of their other problem by at the same time. So we were looking at a civilizational civil war at the same time World War III with the Russians if they would have killed Trump. I mean, Trump isn't the only one that dodged a bullet. All of society dodged a bullet. We can talk about it in the comments below, what the different events would have been. But you notice Biden's hiding out right now because he knows the globalists want to get him and Trump as well. He's a horrible globalist, but he's trying to be the president to protect his family and get more money. So there's all this infighting inside the bureaucracy that's hijacked the country. So we're outside of that bureaucracy seeing what's going on over there, but it's all these factions that are fighting with each other over control. Meanwhile, Trump is taking over the Republican Party through the legislative process, through elections, through the law, and trying to get elected the proper way for reform. Where in a constitutional republic, we have elections instead of wars and civil wars. And that's why they're pissed, because he does have the backing of the people in America and across the world. So I will talk about it tomorrow live in studio in Austin, Texas. I'm about to take off on a plane back to Austin, cover Bohemian Grove here, amazing events. But I will break down what would have happened if they killed Trump, because it's important to understand what's going to happen if they do kill Trump, because that's their next move. I'll see you all at Infowars.com/show, band.video, and Real Alex Jones right here on X. But thank God they didn't kill Trump, because the New World Order couldn't even carry out the assassination. Imagine what would have happened if they did kill Trump. They are just desperate. They're not thinking things out. Second order, third order, fourth order. They can't even execute first order because they're incompetent, inbred globalists that were handed the control of America hereditarily and through the bureaucracy and through cliques and nepotism, and don't know how to run it. Because it's one thing to have a tyranny, that's bad enough. But incompetent tyranny is the worst combination there is when you have biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons. That's the true breakdown. We'll be covering it all live right here at Real Alex Jones.
All right, folks, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is finally back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. We just had a shipment come in months ago, and it sold out so fast that we frantically worked to get this back in stock as soon as possible, because Vitamin Mineral Fusion is one of our most popular products. Now, the reason that you should be getting this product is for the same reason that you get any other multivitamin product. Our body needs these vitamins, these minerals, and these nutrients in order to live and operate at the most efficient level possible. Now, you should be getting this from InfoWarsStore.com instead of from your pharmacy or your grocery store, or with name brands or generic versions, because this has optimal absorption included in it. It's designed for your body to be able to actually absorb all of the nutrients in the most efficient way possible, unlike other competitors on the market that just simply don't operate that way. Now, this includes comprehensive nutritional support. Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com has A, C, D, E, B complex, essential minerals like magnesium, calcium, and zinc. Everything the body needs to survive. It also includes enhanced absorption and utilization. Like I was saying before, this is an advanced multivitamin formulation designed to let your body actually absorb everything, so you don't just flush it out like with so many competitors. And finally, it will support energy production and recovery. So make sure you check out Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com right now, not only because this product is an amazing product for anybody in the world to take, but because by purchasing from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep us on the
air in this most dangerous time for both InfoWars and our country. We know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that the New World Order is trying to take over and shut down InfoWars and, frankly, shut you down too. So by getting Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you fighting for your health, but you're fighting for your country and you're fighting for humanity itself.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.